Support for this podcast comes from Troy University, dedicated to teaching a new generation to lead change. Information on leadership opportunities available to students from day one is at troy.edu/leadchange.
From Troy Public Radio, this is In Focus, and I'm Carolyn Hutchison. Professor Martin Olive has been documenting the COVID-19 pandemic since March of 2020 as director of the Wiregrass Archives. He joins us today from his office at Troy University's Dothan campus. Professor Martin Olive, thank you so much for joining us from the Wiregrass Archives at Troy University's Dothan campus.
Thank you very much for having me, Carolyn.
Marty, we're on a first-name basis, so you're collecting information about the COVID experience in the Wiregrass. What do you have?
Well, beginning in 2020, probably about March 16th, was when Troy University, for 2.5 months, we were working from home. And on March 21st, I published a letter to the editor in the Dothan Eagle, understanding that people were going to be experiencing something very unusual, maybe a once in a century, we hope, activity of quarantining, of everybody closing down almost everything that they normally did and having to stay home, stay away from each other. By the middle of that first week of quarantine, it became very obvious that this was going to be an experience like no other. So I sent this letter off to the editors of the Dothan Eagle, asking the community in the Wiregrass to document their experiences with quarantine, and then to get in touch with me and let me put this into the collections of the Wiregrass Archives. And one of the things that motivated me was my understanding of the great so-called Spanish flu pandemic of 1918-1919 that by 1922 was completely forgotten. And we only recently know a lot more about it from people who are doing history of medicine research. So I wanted to get in front of this.
Well, what happened to your letter to the editor?
I actually didn't know that it had gotten published until somebody emailed me with their quote-unquote experience about having had COVID 9 months earlier. And it was a very short email about this. And I realized that my letter had been published. And after that, I started receiving invitations to speak about this. There was a Dothan Eagle article on March 25th, 2020, and there was something in Troy Today on the 27th, and another thing on WTVY on the 28th of March. I started getting inquiries about what it was that I was looking for. The best kind of thing that I thought would work would be a memoir or a diary that people kept. And that's what I suggested to people who contacted me.
Marty, did people take your suggestion?
Some folks wrote in long emails about their experience. These started coming in as early as the 30th of March. Letters about experiences. We have a Troy Distal IT person who lives in Washington State, 15 minutes from the epicenter of the COVID outbreak, back when they didn't really know anything about what was going on except it's very serious. And her son, who lives out there, was in his 40s, got it and really suffered from it. But her daughter, who lives here in the Wiregrass, did not catch it as of March 30th, nor did any of their grandchildren, which is great.
You were talking about this is the experience of our lifetime. The only thing comparable that we've been documenting in our interviews, the polio epidemic of the mid-20th century, and here we are in the 21st century. Can you think of anything else comparable to this pandemic?
I really can't. Not in the 20th century, in the early 21st century. I think the Spanish flu pandemic of the immediate World War I era and the polio epidemic, I've long maintained, as people said, COVID is like the flu. No, we have to treat it like polio, that it doesn't damage everybody who gets it. severely, but boy, when it damages you, it really damages you.
We have long COVID still.
Yes, yes.
So out of curiosity, what you've been collecting, can you give us sort of a summary of that?
Yeah, I've collected a number of emails. I don't have a big collection, 10 submissions maybe, and they range from journals, one of which is just heart-wrenching. It's a lady that had a miscarriage, lost her job. It's just terrible. I've had emails about people's experiences, class discussions on remote websites, documenting the experience of students in the Troy system.
As a historian, you are looking at this pandemic from a unique perspective. You're really documenting history, and history as it is happening in the archives of the Wiregrass. Is it too late for your listeners to participate?
It's not. I'm still collecting any information I can get about people's experience with quarantine and now with the long-term effects of COVID on their lives, whether they've gotten COVID, not gotten COVID. Everybody's life has to accommodate this pandemic. Even people who don't really believe that it exists in the situation that other people believe it exists in, their lives are changed somehow. And I'm always ready to accept that kind of personal testimony to how people lived. Remember, an archives doesn't just collect what happened in the far past, but it collects things now to document our history for future historians.
So how would people get in touch with you to share their experience and have it put in the Wiregrass Archives at Troy University Dothan campus?
Just drop me an email. Doesn't have to be formal. Just email me, mollifff@troy.edu.
I think it's so interesting that you mentioned you're hearing from people who didn't even believe that COVID existed.
You know, that was a big thing for quite a while right after it broke. There are all kinds of people that had all different kinds of ideas about what was going on with COVID, and those people still exist. There's a lot of people on social media that just deny that COVID is a thing. It's just a flu. From personal experience, I caught this stuff before the vaccine came out. And let me tell you, if it's the flu, it's the flu driving a dump truck right over the top of you.
What a description. Let's switch gears.
Sure.
You are the host of a podcast called It Came From the Archives. How's that going?
It's going pretty well. We're coming up onto season 3. We've already recorded all 6 episodes of season 3, and they'll begin airing either in late May or early June. I have one on a festival from 1938, another one on an ocean speed record held by a member of an aircraft carrier crew who lived here in Dothan, Eustace Bishop. We have another one, the 1958 to 1962 Urban Renewal District in Dothan, that was sparked by our possession in the archives of 178 photographs of all of the property in this urban renewal district. The houses were very substandard. And I talk about 3 train wrecks, one in 1917, one in 1945, and another one in 1963, where 12 passengers in a car were hit by a train over here in Midland City. It was at that time, and I hope forever, the worst car train accident in Alabama history.
Well, Marty, people can access It Came From the Archives podcast on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts.
Indeed.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks again for having me.
That was Professor Martin Olaf, director of the Wiregrass Archives, based at Troy University's Dothan campus. He also serves as host of the podcast, It Came From the Archives. Thanks for joining us today for In Focus. I'm Carolyn Hutchison, and this is listener-supported Troy Public Radio.